KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Align, Saving Kids, kids of all ages and all stages. MASC is a referral agency. We offer referrals on our helpline support groups. We do in-school programs. We have an after-school program with my extended family for elementary age, girls and boys, single homes. We are here to help families with any issues that you may be facing, whether it's mental health issues or and addictions. If anyone wants to get trained and receive a free naloxone kit for prevention of opiate overdose, please call MASC and we will even come to your home, deliver it to you, and train you in your home. So MASC's confidential number is 718-758-0400. Don't wait until there's a big problem going on at home or in school. Call us early. Call when your children are young, elementary age, you're noticing learning disabilities, ADD, whatever issues they're being bullied in school, whatever issues they may be facing. Call us anonymously, and we will try and get you the help for your family member early on, whether it's private pay, your insurance. Give us a call. We are here from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, including Saturday night after Shabbos, until 11, actually, and all day Sunday. So call our confidential number. Maybe you want to write it down. Maybe it's for yourself, a neighbor, or someone you sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I have with us a very, very wonderful friend, and she is Sharon Zimbler, and she is the CEO of Montecatini, and it's a Southern California residential eating disorder treatment center for women. And I would like to welcome you on our show tonight. How are you, Sharon?
Oh, I'm so good, and I'm so grateful to be on. Thank you so much, and thank you so much to MASC for all of the amazing work that you all are doing in the community. We appreciate that so much, and it's such a wonderful resource for us here, even in Southern California. And again, thank you for having me today.
Thank you, and it was so nice spending time with you the other day at your program that I attended. Wonderful program, and it was great meeting you and the others from Montecatini. So thank you for that.
We were glad to be there.
Sharon, let's talk first about what is the real definition of an eating disorder. I'm not talking about that I love cake and I'm, you know, dream of cake. I'm talking about the mental disorder that's defined as an eating disorder. Can you explain for our listeners what is an eating disorder?
Absolutely. So there are several different types of eating disorders. I think one that people are most familiar with is anorexia nervosa. a lot of people oftentimes are most familiar with anorexia because they associate anorexia with somebody who is very underweight, somebody who is restricting their intake, who refuses to eat, and somebody who has a very distorted evaluation of their body. So anorexia doesn't just have to be for people that are in very low body weight. Anorexia can be for anybody, even in a normal body type, who is refusing to eat, who believes that they are a different size or look a different way, and who are obsessed with the amount of calories and intake they have. Anorexia is a very complicated disorder, and all of the eating disorders are usually associated with some other type of mental health disorder, whether that's depression, anxiety, other mood disorders or personality disorders, and substance use disorders. Another eating disorder, which is bulimia nervosa. Bulimia is characterized by two different things. One is a binging episode, meaning that somebody is eating more than a normal amount in a short amount of time. They typically eat a lot of food, sometimes food that they feel is not good for them, food that they believe is unhealthy, and then it's followed up by some sort of compensatory behavior. That can be either vomiting, it can be laxative use, it can be over-exercising, or even fasting. And then the third most common type of eating disorder is binge eating disorder. And binge eating disorder is characterized by, similarly to bulimia, there's the binging episode where somebody is eating a lot more food and a large amount of calories in a short amount of time. There's an obsession. There's also an unawareness of how much one is consuming. And then also there is a lack of real internal hunger and fullness cues. And with a binge eating disorder, there is no compensatory behavior like there is with bulimia. So those are the three most common eating disorders that that we see.
So Montecatini is a residential eating disorder treatment center for women. Women of what ages for my listeners?
Sure. And we are, so we have three levels of care, which is really a great opportunity. So in our residential, we take women from 16 to 55, but we also have two other levels of care, which are considered outpatient. One is called PHP, which is partial hospitalization program, and that's an 8-hour-a-day program, 6 days a week. And then the other is intensive outpatient, and that can be up to 6 days a week for 4 hours a day. And in those two levels of care, we can take women of all ages. But we still do prefer to have a minimum, to have adolescents no younger than age 16. But we can take ladies above 60, even above 70. We've had a couple of ladies in their 70s attend our program too.
So let me ask you, Sharon, when does a parent know that their loved one, or themselves maybe, need to get admitted to a rehab for eating disorders? At what point?
And that's a great question, because I think one of the hard things about eating disorders is that sometimes you don't know until somebody is very sick, because people with eating disorders are really good about hiding their behaviors. They're good about trying to cover up any types of behaviors that others may be aware of. Sometimes people and families won't know, or loved ones won't know, until a patient is very, very thin, or they're clearly not eating and refusing to eat. But many times, this can go on for a long period of time. So for instance, if somebody is bulimic, they may not have any changes in their weight. They may be eating somewhat normally, and they may be spending time in the bathroom, or they may be over-exercising. So the thing to look out for is to really look out for any changes in attitudes or behaviors around food, or any discussion on how they feel they look. If you hear somebody consistently asking, how do I look, or I look terrible, or I don't feel good, I feel I need to diet. If you are hearing somebody talking about their weight or their appearance, or like I said, the need to lose weight, diet, or I don't want to eat this, I'm trying to lose weight. Those kinds of things can be sometimes the first signs that somebody's getting overly obsessed in a way about their intake with food and how they feel in their body. So it's also very important to wear, if you do notice any weight changes, sometimes we have folks who will have serious weight changes within a small, short period of time, either gaining weight or losing weight. If you find that somebody has having other behavioral changes, such as depression, anxiety, other types of things that are coming up that maybe can't be explained by other situations, those are also things to look for.
So, Mount, let's talk about where you're located. You are located in Carlsbad, California. And the good thing is, do you want to tell everybody about the Chabad connection to Mount Sukatini?
I would love to. We are so fortunate because we have our residential homes on the very same street as the Chabad at La Costa. The Chabad is literally just a walk away from our residential homes. And we have created an incredible relationship with the rabbi and the Rebbetzin, Nechama Ilfort, and Rabbi Yerucham Ilfort at the Chabad. They have been wonderful. They have taken patients that we have had here into the Jewish community, into their own homes, and really helped us and supported us in helping ladies get better. We had a young woman who came to us quite a while ago who was very concerned about trying to come to treatment in just period, going to any treatment, but treatment in Southern California, away from her home on the East Coast. And the wonderful people at the Chabad were willing to and were able to provide most, if not they volunteered to provide all of her kosher meals for us. But we and our chefs were able to work with the Chabad and her dietitian at our facility to make sure that she was getting kosher meals. They were also, and we also were able to make sure that we could honor her on the Sabbath. And the Chabad came to visit her when she was further along. She's been spending holidays with the Chabad, the rabbi, and his family, and they have just wanted to be a great resource for all of the people that we work with.
Which is so helpful, because parents, when they send their child, their loved one, you know, on a plane somewhere to a rehab that they don't even know anybody there, it's very comforting to know that there is a rabbi that can be there close by. They can go to their synagogue. They can talk mm-hmm. to the rabbi or the rebbetzin. They get their meals. That's a very big relief to many religious families that are struggling with children that are or loved ones any age with eating disorders or any addiction. I'd like to add. So, I do want to talk about addiction, because you do detox for those that may be have some addictions included in having an eating disorder. So, if you can just touch on the substance abuse and eating disorder as a co-occurring issue sometimes.
Sure. And that's in that. Really goes back to what I was saying before, that eating disorders don't really ever occur alone. There's some sort of co-occurring disorder. And for many people, up to 50% of people with an eating disorder have a co-occurring substance use disorder. And oftentimes, substances are a way in which patients with eating disorder and people with eating disorders either lose weight, they try to speed up metabolism, they also try to erase their hunger cues. And so what we do is we really are able to honor and help people really struggling with both disorders. So we do have our medical doctor, and our medical team is excellent. And if somebody has detox, not a very intense or serious detox, we can do that in our facility. And we also have a wonderful doctor who is connected with the local hospitals and works also with one of the local hospitals, and have very good connections to make sure that there's a good continuity of care for people that may need even more intensive care while they're in treatment with us or before they come to us. So we can provide that, because oftentimes the co-occurring and the substance use, like you mentioned, Rakoma, is one of the hardest things for our patients to get through, because they don't want to give up one of their disorders. They may want to continue to use substances and just get better from an eating disorder, or vice versa.
Yes, and on the Mask Helpline, when anyone ever calls, we always refer them to a medical doctor that deals with eating disorders, not just to a therapist. It's very important that they are monitored with a medical doctor. I know Jewish Board will not see a client without them first being assessed by a medical doctor, specifically for eating disorders. So that's really an important understanding of how complicated eating disorders are, that we must include a medical doctor at all times. So let's go through the steps. Let's go through the steps of admission. What happens? Who brings the client? And what happens, you know, a lot of times in all rehabs, they have rules about parents dropping off their loved ones, or if they go for themselves. And they can't always call home when it's, you know, when they're on drugs and alcohol and they're going for a rehab. So many a time they are not allowed to call home the first week. And I know we get calls all the time from parents, very scared, frustrated, anxiety-ridden. What's going on with my child? What's going on with my loved one? So I'd like to talk about the steps to admission, you know, what happens from that initial call. And if you could address the issue of, do the families have contact with their loved one? Are they allowed to speak, you know, while they're inpatient?
Yes.
Great. If you can talk to before you do speak to my listeners, I want to reintroduce you, and that is Sharon Zimbler, CEO of Montecatini Rehab. It's a residential and partial hospitalization and intensive outpatient programs for eating disorders. And Sharon is a marriage and family therapist and working there more than 10 years. So thank you for being on with us, and let's go right to it.
Okay, well, thank you. And yes, so the intake process works, and it kind of goes back to what we were just talking about, the importance of the medical piece and the medical oversight and the doctors. So when somebody is interested in finding out about coming into treatment with us, we have an admissions line, and we have an intake office. And so when you call that number, we have some wonderful people on the other line that will ask you questions. They'll go through an intake application with you. And then one of the things that we also require is we also require that the patients are get an EKG and lab work. And the medical part is a very big piece of eating disorders, and that's something we have a lot of oversight on in our treatment program. And so we will need to see those test results to make sure that the person is getting the proper level of care and the proper type of treatment. Another good thing is we also take most insurances, and we'll do benefit checks and work with the insurance to make sure that we can get the treatment covered and paid for. And we also do accept private pay at our treatment facility. And so when we have an adolescent come in, we have one either the family, or sometimes there's family that's in California or that will bring the adolescent in, and they'll have to sign paperwork and everything like that for the adolescent. And when we have an adolescent in, they are able to speak to their family every day. And that also just helps really the family feel assured. The family also has access to our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week nursing department, because we are 24-hour, 7-day-a-week nursing. There's family sessions. We also have something called an Family Intensive Weekend, which is 3 days a week where we love to have the families be here, be with us, and participate in our program with their loved one. And so that way, we really want to make sure that the family is involved in treatment. And sometimes that is the case with adults. Sometimes it's not so much the case with adults. But we work with loved ones, and we want patients to be able to have a strong community and a strong community to return home to. And organizations like MASC are perfect because they can really help patients integrate back into life with a strong community, strong treatment providers, to really help continuity of care for anybody who comes to our facility.
Sharon, I know that you're just a few miles from the beach, and I know how beautiful your place is and how relaxing it is, and I just want my listeners to know that not only is it beautiful and relaxing, but you have an amazing, very passionate, professional team, and some of your team may have also been touched by an eating disorder themselves, and they bring a lot of heart to your program and to the clients. And that's really, you know, the empathy and the understanding and the hope that you offer to clients is tremendous, because they feel safe in your program. They feel understood, and it's a very warm environment, not only warm in California, but warm in beauty and in the people, really. So that's really very important as well. Like you said, many people are suffering from many other things that may have happened, traumas in their life, underlying depression, anxiety, or whatever it may be. So I just want my listeners to know that it is a beautiful, warm, kind, caring, and mostly, I'm emphasizing, mostly, that the highlights there is that it is exceptionally professional. Psychiatrists, social workers, registered dietitians, registered nurses, licensed vocational nurses, physician's assistants, they have marriage and family therapists. They have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week oversight of in the psychiatric department. And I want you to talk about some of the fun things that go on there, some of the activities, if you can share, please.
Sure. Well, one of the wonderful things about Monica Tini is that, like you said, we are located near the beach, and we have beautiful weather. We're coastal. Our houses, our residential homes, are very home-like, which is one of the things that's different about our facilities. We have three homes, and each home has six beds. So there's a very warm feeling. It's not a hospital-like feeling at all, because we're in residential neighborhoods and we're in residential homes. Our patients get to go to the beach. They do beach walks. There's walks and activities outdoors. One of the great things about where we are in our location is that we have such beautiful grounds that we do a lot of things even outdoors. We do sessions outside. Yoga class is outside in some of our locations, because it's one thing to really be able to get outside and connect in with nature and to be able to experience what it feels like to have a strong connection to the outdoors, to nature. That is something that is very healing for so many of our patients. We do a lot of fun things. We have talent shows, we have things where the patients, they have game nights, they have things where they come together as a group in order to get close, in order to find camaraderie and support of one another. And one of the other things I think that's great is that when we have patients that go into our other levels of care, PHP and IOP, we even have housing, outpatient housing available for them. It's not supervised, because they're in a lower level of care. But one other really interesting thing, and one thing that was so wonderful about the work the Chabad did with us, is that they were willing, and they gave one of our patients a full supply of cooking equipment. So when she stepped down to a lower level of care, she could set up her own kosher kitchen in outpatient housing, and they continued to work with her. And so it's wonderful because there is such a strong, beautiful Jewish community where we are also. So
wonderful. Really, I know that people do exceptionally well in your program. And by the way, in all of Acadia's programs, you're under the umbrella of Acadia Healthcare. And Nancy, who is so popular in the Jewish community, who represents Acadia Health, she's introduced MASC to many, many, many of the treatment centers, and Montecatini being one of them. And I just want to say that they are all very, very professional. And anyone that is looking to explore an option of going to Montecatini and wants to speak directly with Sharon, feel free to call the MASC helpline, and we will have Sharon call you back. Sharon is really so available to any one of MASC's clients. So give us a call. I can get Sharon to call you back anytime. And I want to say thank you, Sharon, for being on with us tonight. And it was great being with you this week. And we should continue to be able to help people out there in all mental health issues, addictions, and eating disorders.
Oh, and thank you. And congratulations to MASC for 22 years of incredible service. We are so, so happy and proud to be part and work with an organization like MASC. Thank you for all of the work you do.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to remind everybody that if you need a naloxone kit, call the MASC confidential number at 718-758-0400. And we have a Rebbetzin's conference coming up with the United Task Force, 35 agencies. Anyone that wants their Rebbetzin to attend the May 19th Rebbetzin's conference, please call the MASC hotline, give us your Rebbetzin's name and phone number, and we will reach out to them to make sure they attend the amazing program. We always have over 100 and some Rebbetzin, so please, let's get them all in the door and let's get them to the program. So call MASC, 718-758-0400. And I'd like to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
NORPAC's mission to Washington on Tuesday, May 21st, is a single-day advocacy event to promote stronger U.S.-Israel relations directly with members of Congress and their staff. Join over 1,000 people as they advocate on issues to bolster American cooperation with Israel, fight anti-Semitism, and hold Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah accountable for their terrorist activities. Round-trip bus transportation to Washington, D.C., 3-glot kosher meals, training, and all scheduling and materials are included with registration. To register or for more information, visit www.norpac.net or call 201-788-5133. That's 201-788-5133.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
KCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.